You're listening to Type Radio. My name is David Shrigley. Now we're talking.
Oh yeah, you hurt your back, I read. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you doing better now?
I'm getting better. Yeah, it's getting better.
I know. It's very inconvenient if you're sort of.
It's not great if you're traveling. It's
right,
problematic.
You're traveling, yeah.
But yeah, I've been taking pills. In fact, I've got to take my pill, actually. That's why I got the water. That's a painkiller.
It's to get you through the interview? No.
Yeah, it's kind of an articulacy pill. You take it and then you can just speak in a really intelligent manner.
Oh, wonderful.
About anything, probably.
About anything, any subject.
That's fantastic.
Okay,
we should get some of these.
This is Type Radio.
Oh, you're about what you want.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the Integrated Conference in Antwerp. It's October 22nd, 2009, and our first guest is David Shrigley.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
You want to do the first one?
Okay, go on. Are you religious?
No, I'm not really religious.
And with your work, would you say?
My work acknowledges religion, I guess, and perhaps uses theological themes from time to time.
Do you mock them? Do you make fun of them?
No, not at all. My work's kind of about the meaning of life to a certain extent. So I guess religion is the means by which people find meaning. So I think it's very interesting on that level. But I'm not religious myself, but I'm certainly not anti-religious. I'm pro-religion.
And why are you pro-religion? Is there a reason for that?
Because I think that ultimately religion, well, having some form of spiritual belief is a positive thing, versus not having or being ambivalent about there being anything beyond the material in our lives.
Do you have rituals?
Rituals? I mean, everybody has rituals. I have muesli for breakfast every morning, and I always cross my fingers when I walk past people on the stairs, because I think it's bad luck otherwise.
Really?
Yeah.
And is there an occasion that you didn't and something happened?
No, I've never not done it, so I don't know. I don't want to leave it to chance, you know. That would just be dangerous.
It's very thorough.
And with your in your work, sorry, I keep going back to the same question, but rituals with your, is there something you always do at the beginning of every drawing or?
Well, not really. I mean, there are lots of things that I do in terms of a process, a working process, but I wouldn't actually call them a ritual. I mean, I have a process, but I think there's a difference between a ritual and a process. Ritual kind of implies some kind of esoteric knowledge of what the ritual means and consists of, whereas just a process is just, you know, what you do in order to make something else happen.
You're best known for your humorous drawings, as it was put in one article, but you've also worked in many different media. Do you have a preference of a medium that you to work in?
I think the easiest medium to work in is drawing, because it's very immediate, and because I'm not really into craft, so I'm not, whether I can draw objectively well in a craft sense is not really evident in my work. So drawing is the easiest thing to do and probably the most satisfying for that reason, because it yields the most results.
But to where it's applied, you don't have a preference, where it's a book or a records cover, is there a preference or?
Things tend to become books or become record covers later on. For us, at the time you're making it, there's just a drawing and you're just filling a page, so what you do with it later on is quite often something that is decided later on.
But when it comes, for example, to commissioned work, is that then do you have a different way of thinking? Like when you
Well, I try not to. I mean, if I have to think too hard about it, then I probably shouldn't be doing the commission. But I mean, the commissions usually are just a starting point for a drawing project for me. But then, to be honest, I don't actually do that many commissions anyway, so I just do them because they're interesting or because I like the band who's involved, for instance, for the record cover. So,
it's not for the sake of paying the bills?
No, not really.
But do they also comment on your work, or do they accept everything you do?
They always accept everything I do because I make it explicitly clear that they've got to understand what I do and what I can do and what I can't do. And if they think that I'm going to do something that I can't do, then they should probably ask somebody else. So as long as they're very simpatico with my voice, as it were, then it usually works. But I tend not to. I tend to ask them a lot of questions first. Otherwise, there's no point in doing it. But no, I don't really do it to pay the bills at all. I mean, most of what pays the bills for me is to sell the original artwork in a gallery thing. So I'm really a fine artist in terms of my what's written on my tax return. You know, that's my occupation. I'm a fine artist rather than a designer or an illustrator or whatever.
And do you consider yourself to be lucky in being this self-supporting, not dependent on a job or?
Oh yes, I am very lucky. I think one has to remind oneself how lucky one is. I mean, I'm a natural fine artist. It's like I do it. That's what I'd be doing even if I had a job doing something else. So, in that respect, I'm very lucky. But it also means I can't really do anything else either. So. Probably just as well that I am successful.
That's great. I'm good. No, and how come you are in fine art? Was there somebody in your family or?
No, I've always naturally drawn to being creative, making things, making drawings and making objects. It's just something I've always done ever since I was a small child.
And I'm also curious, like, for example, with humor, is that inherent? Is it like creativity? Where is it inherent or is it something you can work on, you know?
I don't know. It's not something I'm really aware of. Mm. I mean, it's not something I'm aware of at the time when I'm doing it. But in retrospect, I see the humor in what I do. But at the time that I'm doing it, I actually probably feels a bit more serious and profound than it appears in retrospect.
And like, for example, I assume that people, when they see their work, expect you to be a certain person, or do they?
I guess so, yeah. I mean, people always comment that I don't look like what they expected me to look like, but then, you know, I guess after a certain point in my life, I might actually start looking like they expect me to look like. So as you get older, you know. I think they expect me to look a little bit less healthy, maybe. Or
do you think do they expect you to be funny at all times because you're sort of known for your irony? And
I suppose so, yeah. I think I suppose...
Like you people in the pub saying, go on, tell us a joke or something?
No, I don't think people do, really. I mean, I think they assume that I'm really quite a strange person. I don't know. I mean, everybody's strange, I suppose. But I'm not really a comedian, you know, and I don't think my work is comedy because it's not really quite funny enough to be comedy. A humour is something that I enjoy, you know. I suppose that's my take on life, is that it has to be funny, or I see it as being funny, or my response to it is to laugh, maybe. So, I don't know. It's very difficult to see yourself as other people see you. And, you know, people don't really look at you that hard anyway. They look at the work and they sort of hear you speak, but a lot of the time people's point of access to you is, you know, and your point of access to them is just like some really weird thing, really weird moment in your life, i.e. when you're on stage talking, presenting a PowerPoint presentation, or when you're on TV talking about art or something. And those are really weird, and I suppose that's not really you.
Yeah, it must be strange. Yeah, when you look back and see yourself, is yeah.
Yeah, well, it's sort of, I don't know, maybe they're very concentrated moments where people get to look at you. For me personally, it's not really very important whether people see me or hear me or whatever, because I want to be represented by my work. Mm-hmm. That's my language, that's what I say. And what I say about what I've said is a sort of less interesting, I guess, or should be less interesting anyway. But not that it's not a painful thing to do. I kind of enjoy it, but I enjoy it just for social reasons, you know, because I get to meet people and talk to people and go to different places and do different things, which is fun, because when you're sitting at home making drawings all day, it's not very good for your personality, I don't think.
Is that also the reason you have ventured into like more audio-like media, like the spoken word things and the CDs? Is that the same reason for to draw you away from the drawing board? And
perhaps, yeah. I think it's just stopped me getting bored a lot of the time. I do. I think if I made drawings all day, every day, I would go mad. I would really go mad, because it's a really solitary thing. And yeah, I think you challenge yourself and change the way that you look at the world through doing different things. After a certain point, you've got nothing to make the work about either. You know, I sometimes wonder about, you know, like rock stars who write songs about broken relationships, and you just think, I don't know, how many, you know, what are they doing? They're just on tour singing about broken relationships, writing songs about broken relationships, and then just having the broken relationships. So it's just one sort of cycle of misery in a way. It's like they have all these relationships and then they just end and then they write a song about it. And then it just sort of seems like, why don't they do some, I don't know, just do something else, like ride horses or something and write songs about that? Because I think that would be healthy. So I could feel the same way about my work to a certain extent, whereby you don't want to be locked in some cycle of making the same work. I mean, I suppose everything that you, every experience you have feeds into the work, so you need to have some more experience. The more experience you can have, the better it is.
So what do you do as an alternative? I mean, do you ride horses?
No, I don't ride horses. Oh. I'm too big, actually. I once went horse riding when I was at school, and they couldn't find a horse that was big enough for me. I guess they were really small horses, so I had to ride this adult horse kind of thing, a very big horse. They had to come find it. And it's a very vivid memory of riding, or ride me being on a horse and them all being on kind of ponies or something.
Yeah, that's great,
kids.
No?
They're all like that. But I really wanted to fit in. I wasn't very happy that I was on a horse. Even the teachers were on ponies. So anyway, but I do normal stuff. I go shopping, buy records. I DJ sometimes. I go and see bands.
What kind of music do you play when you DJ?
Well, people always ask me that question, obviously, because it's a very, you know, but I actually don't know, you know, other than just actually naming all the tracks that I play. You know, in terms of genre, I couldn't actually say what type of music I play, but it's sort of slightly...
But how do you pick the records? What is the appeal?
I don't know. I mean, I play things that I like, I suppose. But then the stuff that whenever I get asked to DJ at festivals or something, they always put me on at lunchtime, so I can play whatever I like, because everybody's got a hangover and they don't really want to dance anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I still play stuff that seems to fit into that context.
But is it old? Is it from the 60s, or do you just play anything?
I play kind of anything, really, but I'd say in terms of what I listen to at home, I listen to a lot more rock music than anything else.
Broken relationship music?
Not really, no. I mean, I like, I like kind of singer-songwriter stuff, but not exclusively. I mean, I kind of like Black Sabbath and things like that, and classic metal, and but I also like Neil Young and Sonic Youth and things like that. But I'm a quite voracious purchaser of music, so I always am buying something new, so I'm always listening to something slightly new. But I guess the stuff that I go back to is sort of tends to be things like Neil Young and Velvet Underground and things like that, that is pretty much guitar-based melodic rock, or with a.
Are you losing your cutting off your blood circulation?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm just sort of kind of enjoying it. Yeah. This elastic band around my wrist.
You've lost your hand, but that's okay.
But it's not really what I play when I DJ. I tend to play, I don't know, play sort of things that are somewhere in between experimental music and dance music, like Aphex Twin. Or I like things on, do you know this label called DFA, Death From Above, an American label? I seem to play a lot of stuff from that label. Mm-hmm. It's kind of moody, edgy electronica that kind of is almost dance music.
Yeah, it's a bit confusing now and then if you listen to it. Same as Aphex Twin. It seems to be confusing the audience just as much as pleasing them.
Yeah, yeah. I once went to see Aphex Twin play, like in maybe 92 or something, 91, years and years ago. And he'd played this set where it just sounded like the PA had broken. You know, it really felt and sounded like what we now call noise, you know, as a genre.
Yeah.
But at the time, people were just like, what's going on? And he was there, and everybody was like, is it broken? What's happened?
Especially when it's programmed in between all these really danceable acts and music.
But then there's all this discernible beat in between things. It's kind of like, and then it's like, and there's a beat, and you're like, oh, well, I suppose it must be supposed to be like that. But, you know, I think he's a very interesting artist.
And with that, I'm saying this without trying to be disrespectful, but you have a seemingly...
Whenever anybody says something
Yeah, I
like
know,
that,
it's bad news.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but...
Well, I just wanted to know, because how it's sort of a quirky, naive style of drawing, you could say.
Oh.
And I was wondering, how do you develop that? I mean, does it continue to be like the same, or are you aware of... Also, I'm asking, was in the Guardian article of a month ago, it said you draw 30 sheets of paper a day... And also, there must be some kind of development. And are you aware of that? And how you deal with that?
Not really. I try and do something different every time, I suppose. But in terms of the manner in which I draw, I suppose I kind of say to people that I'm not really very good at drawing. But I don't really know what I mean by that, you know. Because obviously, the drawings I make, you know, I think are quite successful. And I'm willing to show them to people and to exhibit them and to have them published and stuff. So they must be functional. I must think they're good. So ergo, I must be good at drawing or able to produce good drawings. But I suppose in terms of actual craft, in terms of objectively rendering three-dimensional space on a two-dimensional page, I don't really know if I'm very good at that because I don't really do it very often. So I'm not, I guess in terms of what I do, it's just something very, very natural that I've always done. And I suppose it's developed. It must have developed, must have changed over a discernible period of time, even over the period of time that I've been a professional artist, which is perhaps 14 or 15 years. And it's just something I'm not really aware of and just don't think about. And it's not really faux naive. It's just an absence of wanting to make things that are objectively correct.
Isn't it also to stress that it's more about the content and the message of the drawing than the...
Well, there wasn't really any intent there other than to produce an image, an interesting image. And I mean, sometimes people comment on the fact that when I write them a letter, you know, the handwriting on the front of the envelope is exactly the same as the handwriting in my drawings. And they're kind of really shocked by that, you know, as if that my handwriting in the drawings is artifice in some way. And I'm sure there is some artifice there. There is some contrivance, certainly. I mean, there has to be, otherwise it wouldn't be art. But then, you know, so it's honest, but then it's not completely honest. And it's sort of naive, but it's not really faux naive. It's just, you know, choosing to draw in a certain way. And if you ask me to draw you right now, I would draw, it would look exactly like one of my drawings. So that's just how I draw to a certain extent. And there are certain drawings you could see of mine that look, some of which look like, they just look like I got something wrong with me. And there are other ones that look sort of graphically like cartoons. And there are other ones that sort of look like kind of slightly poor objective drawings. So, and there are other things that are just text, I suppose. So There's probably quite a lot of variety in what I do, but I think my only criteria, really, apart from the the process that I've described of filling the page, is just to make something different every time, so that I don't recognise it somehow, or so that it's significantly different or interesting to me, to have a place, and it goes in a box, and then it, when I look at it later on, when I come to edit it, I don't throw it away.
So do you keep all your work?
No, I throw it away because I just don't have space to keep it all. So I throw it away after a few months if I still don't like it.
Do you burn it, or what do you just?
I recycle it, actually. Tear it to pieces and then put it in the recycling.
Have you ever caught somebody going through your recycling bin?
Nobody knows. I have a private recycling arrangement, so nobody knows where I put my garbage.
Do you allow to be criticised? I mean, do you ask, for example, your partner, like, what do you think?
I try not to, actually, unless I'm doing some... I mean, I've been doing some political cartoons for a magazine, a current affairs magazine, mm-hmm. and something I'm just doing as an experiment, just out of interest, to see if I can do it or to see what happens when I try to do it, and just a short project, really. But I always ask her whether it actually looks like who I'm supposed to be drawing. Does this look like Gordon Brown or whoever I'm trying to draw? So I ask her that. But generally speaking, I try not to ask her too much about whether this is good or bad, because it completely affects your opinion of what you've done. And I know that, no two people would edit my work the same. But then if I thought about that, that would be a really big problem. But I don't think about it.
Do you edit your own books, or
Yeah, I edit everything myself. Okay. I don't let anybody edit for me. I mean, I kind of let people edit amongst finished work that is finished, but the stuff that's discarded is still finished and important to me. It's not going to go in the bin.
Do you have a hero?
I guess I've got lots of people who I really admire, but not really one person. I mean, lots of people who I really admire as artists, as writers, as musicians. But, when people say, do you have a hero? I mean, I think there are heroic people, and heroism is perhaps a term that's misapplied to artists or creative people, because people say, he's my hero, he's a genius. But then if he's a hero, he can't be a hero through doing what he does as a demonstrating his genius, because geniuses do things without effort. That's the definition of a genius, that they just are able to be geniuses without putting any effort into it. So that negates that definition as a hero, in a way, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
I think it's actually, I think if you're going to be a hero, then you have to be somebody like Rambo or somebody, You can't be...
Captain America.
Yeah.
So is Rambo your hero?
Rambo's dead, I think.
Is he?
Didn't he die in the last one? I don't know. No, maybe he
did.
He gave up anyway. He got written out, which is the same thing. He had a box office flop, and that's like box office death.
You say your work isn't about anything in particular. It's quite intuitive. I was wondering if you assess the themes in your drawings afterwards. If you said that you lay it down and you look at it and say, well, or is it never that intended?
Yeah, probably. I do look at things and think about what they're about, and I think, oh dear, there's a lot of stuff about death here. Why is that? You can trace certain themes, and there's a certain attitude to the work.
And does that change your intuition?
I suppose in a way it does, yeah, in the sense that you deliberately don't want to do what you did before.
Okay, you have got 100 questions here, so we're going to keep going. How do other cultures see your work? I'm curious, because it is the language.
How do other cultures? Well, like the Aztec culture.
How the Mayans perceive your artwork.
How? Yeah, the American people, yeah. The other culture.
No, but it's very, there's a very British quality about it.
What do the Eskimos think?
What do the Eskimos think of your work?
I don't know.
Don't you say culture? What do you say? How do other nationalities?
Nationalities is perhaps a better word. Okay, other cultures is something like, sort of a different definition. Well, I suppose my work is quite language-based, but it seems to, people certainly like it. And I do a lot of exhibitions in non-English-speaking countries. I mean, the Americans seem to like it. And I guess Europeans, I think in general, are quite different from the Americans. I mean, I think the English and the Belgians, for instance, are pretty similar because they're only separated by a stretch of water, but...
The Incas.
No. Incas. I haven't shown the work to any Incas. I don't know really how. Very difficult to perceive your work as other people perceive it, but I think it doesn't really. The language barrier doesn't get in the way too much. But I think that's probably more about the ubiquitous nature of the English language than it is about the nature of the work itself. I think if I was writing in Flemish, for instance, it would probably be quite problematic, in terms of my international profile. But in terms of the actual sensibility of the work, it's really impossible question to answer. I mean, is it a British sense of humour? I don't know, because there are a lot of British people who really hate what I do, just don't like it and think it's really strange and horrible. And conversely, there are a lot of people from a long way away, like Japan, who think it's really great. So I don't really know.
Do people write to you personally to tell you that? I mean, do they tell you, is it in reviews or how? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get some very good reviews and some very bad reviews, but it really just depends on who's writing it. I don't think you can ever please everybody anyway, so one shouldn't. Certainly shouldn't try to, but one shouldn't worry about the fact that you know there's a real panorama of different opinion about what one does as an artist. But in a way, it's a moot point. I mean, it's like nothing I can do about it. It's just me. You know, I can't really change, and I wouldn't really want to change because, I mean, I don't have to because I make a living. I don't have to have a job. It's a great situation to be in, and just because a lot of people don't like what I do. Wouldn't really change me at all, really. Doesn't change me. Not because, you know, I have a project, I suppose, and I'm doing it, and I feel I have an obligation to do it to a certain extent, whereby I'm quite rigorous and work quite hard most of the time, so.
Did you ever have a chance to react to somebody that was negative towards you, or you just ignore it?
Well, I think you have to accept that, you know, people... It would be really weird if your work was universally liked and enjoyed. I mean, for people to really like something, I think there has to be some kind of reaction to that, some opposition, some completely alternative view, which says that it's rubbish. But so I don't know. I think it's important to listen to think about, to acknowledge the fact that a lot of people don't like what you do, and that's the way it has to be with everything. And I think if something was really universally popular, that a lot of people really, really liked, I don't know, what's an example of that? Something like Coldplay or something, sort of like music that sort of everybody likes, but can't imagine that anybody actually really likes it that much, you know? It's just bland and boring and sort of, it's sort of like it's been made by somebody who isn't a human being.
Yeah, just killed Coldplay there. Anyway, obviously that's not on your playlist, no.
No, I don't really like Coldplay. I don't wish them any harm, but, you know, I'm good for them that they're really popular, but, yeah, I don't think they're very interesting. Sorry.
Yeah, that's good. No.
Are you a disciplined worker?
I try to be, but probably not.
Also because you give yourself the assignment to fill 30 sheets of paper, for instance, for a period of time.
Well, if I've got something to do, I'm quite disciplined. I have to do it for a certain time. It gets done. But if I don't, I'm sort of slightly less disciplined. Deadlines are quite important.
But do you say, like, now I'm going to make another book, or I'm going to make a book, or you draw and then say, okay, this is time for...
Well, it depends. If there's another book on the horizon, then I do the work for it. And if there isn't, then I probably still do a lot of work, but don't do it quite as quickly, because I don't have to, I suppose. Because, you know, sometimes when you live in Glasgow, the sun doesn't shine very often. So I have a policy of when it's a sunny day, I just drop everything and go out, because it's going to rain tomorrow. That's always the way it is. So yeah, I try to be disciplined, and I can be disciplined, but like a lot of people, I get really distracted by answering emails and the computer and stuff. It just seems to suck me away from my drawing board.
Your output is mostly books, you can say, but the Who I Am and What I Am came
what
first
I want.
Was a book, but then was turned into an animated film?
Yeah, it was one of the first films that I made. I've done a few films, but it was sort of the first longer piece that I made, and the book was a sort of an experiment. I wanted to make a book with a character in it. It has a narrative to it because it has a character, but it's not really very narrative. I mean, the drawings themselves are very narrative. They're about narrative, but they're all about this really truncated, abbreviated narrative. That allows the viewer to tell the narrative, form the narrative for themselves. But I ended up, that seemed to lend itself to making a film, and when I had the opportunity to make a film, which was funded by a TV company, it seemed kind of obvious that should be a starting point for the script, and that's what I wrote, and then that's how that worked. But that was... In a way, I've sort of developed in terms of filmmaking a lot since then, where I'm a lot more in control of what I'm doing, and I'm kind of interested in making short films much more than longer films. So,
but you draw the frames yourself, or are there other people?
Yeah. I mean, it's just Flash. I work with an animator, so I give him all the images in kit form, and he puts it all together. I write the storyboard, and then we just sort of give it back and forth. So I'm very in control of it. But I always work with the same animator, so his style has become my style in a way. And I always sort of try and work with similar actors as well. So when I do voice, when I don't do it myself, I'd work with the same actor and the same sound designer. So,
and film adds another dimension to the flat surface of a drawing board. How was that? Did you have a hard time, like, changing drawings into a motion?
Yeah, I think so. I think it took me... it's just a different medium. It doesn't have anything to do with drawing, really, at all. It's all about narrative and telling stories in a much more overt way. So it took me a while. I just made some animations, and eventually I kind of started to figure out what I wanted to do and what I liked about it. It's just sort of been a natural process. Whereas now, I felt like when I first started doing it, when I made that film that you mentioned, I felt like I was very much at the beginning of something. I really didn't understand what I wanted to do. So the first film was an adaptation of something else. Whereas the films I'm making now are much more just films that I've conceived as films. And I feel more confident about those now. But it's still a sort of a medium that I feel like I'm at the beginning of, a way of working that I don't know that much about. So I've got a lot to do, which is a nice way to feel.
How would you like to be remembered?
Fondly. How would you like to be remembered?
Well, it's not my question.
We're asking the questions here.
Yeah.
Well, dude, sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Was that your American accent?
Yeah.
Guten Abend. Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.